This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
The Bucks game is over. And now, it's time for the longest-running Pro Hoops post-game show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
The most important thing, we trust one another. What happened, we trust one another, and that's why we came up with the win.
The head coach.
We're just going to have to be more disciplined. He's going to have to be more disciplined.
And the fans.
We have some talented players, no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to compete at this level of the NBA with what we have going on.
This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show. Presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, close but no cigar on that 60th win of the season for the Milwaukee Bucks. This one in the books at Fiserv Forum. The Nets take this one 133-128 over the Milwaukee Bucks, their fourth and final meeting of the season. What's going on? Anthony Mandela in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer this evening. Maybe not for long, though. Our Spark Dog was down at the game today. Maybe you're leaving the game. Maybe you bumped into him while you were there. He's going to be joining us, we think, at some point as soon as he makes that commute out of Fiserv Forum. Hopefully the traffic's not too bad. Everyone, hopefully, in Miller Park. No traffic on I-94, anyone trying to get to this Brewers-Cubs game. But again, the final score at Fiserv Forum today, 133-128. Nets on top, and Anthony Mandela in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. It's the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Presented by Palermo's Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza on the Fan. Lot to get to in this game. Giannis Antetokounmpo not playing today, more or less. You could consider it load management, I suppose. Maybe a fair way of putting it. Just dealing with some calf tightness, soreness, whatever you want to call it. He got bounced around a little bit in that game Thursday night against the 76ers. Clashing in the paint all evening with Joel Embiid. But still, the Bucks putting something together on the floor without the Greek freak. The cards just not falling. Question for you this evening is this. You had a chance tonight in the Brooklyn Nets to preview perhaps a first-round playoff series. Bucks right now have the one seed locked up, as was the case earlier this week. Right now in contention, still in the Eastern Conference, your top five shapes up as Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, Boston, and Indiana for the time being. And then these teams at the bottom, five teams still in it, no more than 2.5 games apart, all of them. Two, maybe three games left for each team, depending on how their schedule shakes out down the stretch. Which of these following teams do you think would give the Bucks the most trouble in the first round of the playoffs? 414-799-1250 if you want to hop on the line. And I want to preface this by saying I don't think any of these teams are really a challenge for the Bucks as it pertains to getting out of the first round. I think that's the truth whether Giannis plays or not. I think it's the truth whether Malcolm Brogdon is available or not. We already know he won't be for the first round. If Chris Middleton is banged up, I think they can win without him, as long as they have somebody. Now, if you don't have Giannis, you don't have Middleton, maybe a little bit of a different scenario in the books. But this is who you can choose from right now. The Orlando Magic, currently the sixth seed. They're 40-40, as are the seventh seed Brooklyn Nets with the win today. They are now 40-40 in the seventh spot. Detroit, right now in the 8 hole, 39-40, followed by Miami and Charlotte on the outside looking in. 414-799-1250. Which of those five teams, the Magic, the Nets, the Pistons, the Heat, and the Hornets, do you think would cause the most trouble for the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs? Again, this afternoon's contest at Fiserv Forum, maybe a preview what we're going to see on the hardwood in just over a week, maybe 2 weeks away or so. And I got to say, I understand Giannis wasn't on the floor tonight. You lost this one. The Nets do not scare me in any way, shape, or form. In fact, I see sweep territory brooms busted out in the first round if the Bucks end up lining up against the Magic, the Nets, or the Pistons. Ironically, the three teams currently in the playoff picture if the season were to end right this very minute. It's the teams on the outside, Miami and Charlotte, that have, well, nobody has had the Bucks' number this season. They're the best team in the NBA, at least on paper, in the regular season, with the MVP candidate Giannis Antetokounmpo leading the way. But the Miami Heat and the Charlotte Hornets have been more of a thorn in the side of the Bucks this season than I think people are maybe willing to give them credit for. Opening night in Charlotte comes down to the overtime period, wire to wire, down at the Spectrum Center. The Miami Heat play tough, and I understand that his career is all but over, but I just, for the life of me, cannot discount what Dwayne Wade brings to the table, whether he's playing an effective role or not, because he has so much experience and so much knowledge to help guide the other pieces of his young team in the first round. Nothing about Orlando, Brooklyn, or Detroit scare me. If I'm wrong, let me know. Let me know why I should be afraid of the Magic, Nets, or Pistons, because I just don't see it. 414-799-1250. The action on the court today, though, wrapped up. The Nets beat the Bucks 133-128. Let's go inside the box score of that one.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza.
Going inside the box score, this 133-128 Bucks loss to the Nets at Fiserv Forum on the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. We'll start things off with the visitors and the victors, as it were, this afternoon in Milwaukee. The Brooklyn Nets led by D'Angelo Russell, 25 points for D'Lo. He was 10 of 15 from the field, 3 of 4 from beyond the arc, 10 assists, a double-double for the Nets all-star point guard. Right behind him, though, LeVert. 24 points off the bench in 26 minutes. He was the Nets' second leading scorer, 5 assists, a couple of turnovers, and a couple of rebounds for LeVert. Rounding things out in the starting lineup as we return there, Joe Harris, 14 points, the 3-point assassin, relatively tame, 3 of 6 from deep in this game. The big fella in the middle, Jarrett Allen, racking up an 10-point performance, for the Brooklyn Nets. Damari Carroll, basically non-existent. He played 27 minutes on the court, just 4 points, 5 rebounds, a couple of assists, and a steal for the forward. Also off the bench today, Jared Dudley, the former Buck, got some somewhat meaningful run, 23 points, 16 points, 6 of 6 from the charity stripe was Jared Dudley, along with 7 rebounds. That tied with Allen for the team high for Brooklyn in the game. Spencer Dinwiddie, 10 points off the bench as well, and 10 points for Big Ed Davis. We move things then to the Milwaukee Bucks. No Giannis, as I mentioned. Giannis out today with essentially just a day of rest. You've got things locked up, feeling a little bit sore, a little bit banged up after that 76ers win on Thursday. They give Giannis the night off, and who steps up? But hey, number two, All-Star Chris Middleton, 24 points for mid. 9 of 18 from the field, 2 of 7 from deep. He was 4 for 4 at the line. 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. But 4 turnovers. That tied with this next fella for a game high. Eric Bledsoe, 33 points. 11 assists, a double-double for the Bledsoe. He was 5 of 6 from deep. Had 4 rebounds, a couple of assists, and a couple of steals to go with that one as well. Sterling Brown in the starting lineup tonight. He had 11 points, 5 of 7 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3-point land, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Sterling Brown, we'll get into this a little bit later in the program. Sterling Brown didn't exactly fill up the box score. But when the Bucks needed a play, particularly in the first half, Sterling Brown was there ready to go, and he was getting the job done. In the starting lineup tonight, also, DJ Wilson in place of Giannis Antetokounmpo, just 5 points, 7 rebounds, though, for Lanky Smooth. Brooke Lopez, 7 points, 1 of 3 from deep. Relatively tame night for Splash Mountain. He did have 8 rebounds. Off the Bucks bench, led in minutes by Pat Connaughton with 31, 13 points for Planet Pat, 8 rebounds. That was tied with Brooke Lopez for the team high. 3 assists, a couple of steals, 1 of 2 from deep. George Hill, 14 points off the bench. That led the bench scoring for the Bucks. Ersan Ilyasova, 12 points and 7 boards. And rounding things out, Tim Frazier. He played 18 minutes, 9 points, an assist, a rebound, and a steal. For the point guard, Giannis, of course, not playing tonight. Tony Snell, not playing as well, still nursing that ankle. And Bonzi Colson, not playing in tonight's game. A coach's decision. 133-128. The Nets knock off the Bucks, so the Bucks still sitting at 59 wins. Anthony Mandela in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, for the time being at least. It's the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show presented by Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza. And you know what? Let's do this. Let's put the eye on the enemy.
Behold our mortal enemy. We're keeping an eye on the enemy. How did the bad guy look tonight? Sponsored by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch or dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coach's on Lake Dunoon. Yeah, yeah. Come on, come on, come on,
come on. Gonna take a slightly different approach to eye on the enemy here this afternoon. We already know what the Brooklyn Nets did in terms of the box score in this game, but kind of keeping things in line with our topic, and 414-799-1250 if you want to join the conversation. The Bucks have just 2 games left. Most teams in the NBA have 2 games left, maybe 3 if they're yet to play tonight. 5 teams still in contention coming into play today. Those 5 teams, the Orlando Magic, the Detroit Pistons, Miami Heat, Charlotte Hornets, and the Brooklyn Nets, who got a win today. Asking you, again, 414-799-1250. Depending on which of those teams lines up with the 8 seed to face the Bucks in the first round, which one do you think would be the most problematic? And again, resetting the topic, none of them are an obstacle, in my opinion, of the Bucks getting out in the first round. Not an issue. But when we're talking about Bucks in 5 as opposed to maybe a sweep, or Bucks in 6. Well, some of these teams maybe a little bit more trouble for the Bucks in terms of how they match up. We've seen what Charlotte has done against the Bucks this season, as have the Miami Heat. Those two teams stand out in my mind. So in my opinion, those two teams are the enemy, so to speak, of the Bucks as it pertains to the first round of the postseason. Both teams on the outside looking in right now, as we put an eye on the enemy of the Miami Heat and the Charlotte Hornets. Miami, 3 games left. They play tomorrow in Toronto. Then they go to Philly. Then they are home against Philly, rather. Then their final game of the season coming up on Wednesday, they visit the Brooklyn Nets. 3, the top teams in the Eastern Conference as it sits right now. And the Miami Heat sitting just 1 game back of that 8 seed. I think the Miami Heat have some talent, but I don't think that realistically, with that schedule, they're going to be able to slide into that 8 spot. The Charlotte Hornets, on the other hand, have a little bit of an easier timeout. They have 3 games left as well. Tomorrow, they're at Detroit. Then they hit the road to go to Cleveland. And then they visit Orlando. And Orlando, by the time that meeting comes, could also be playing for something in this Eastern Conference playoff picture. It could very realistically come down to the final, the 82nd game of the season for the Hornets and Nets to see who gets the 8 seed. Charlotte Hornets wrap up with that. Right now, they're 2 games out, so they have to win out, essentially, if they want to get into the postseason. And I have to say, I would be very, very happy if the Charlotte Hornets were out of the playoff picture and we didn't even have to worry about them. 414-799-1250. It's the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Let's get the wrench and go drive the game.
This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Let's get tonight's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Wrench and Go drive of the game in today's Bucks loss. If you haven't already heard, Wrench and Go, kind of a cool concept. Bring your own tools. They got the lifts and all that there. You can work on your car. It's kind of neat, especially for someone like me who drives a less than sturdy vehicle, but lives in the city and doesn't have a garage and doesn't really feel like hauling a toolbox two blocks to where my car is parked, on the street. So, hey, if you're like me, probably want to check out Wrench and Go, a couple of locations across Milwaukee. Wrench and Go drive of the game in tonight's Bucks loss. Again, the final score in this one, 133-128 Nets. He didn't exactly fill up the box score, but Splash Mountain making the Nets pay.
Block shot, Lopez. You got Russell. Matt Connaughton put the burners on. Lopez follows. That is a beautiful play.
But that's done off the pass. Penetration and then cutting off the ball and keeping that potato hot.
That potato hot. Marcus Johnson, Jim Paschke on the call, the highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. You're listening to the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show, 414-799-1250 if you want to join the conversation. Of the teams left in contention for that 8th seed in the Eastern Conference, who do you think would cause the worst or most challenging matchup for the Bucks? You're listening to the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show.
Giannis tracks it down and jams.
There's always something unexpected that changes the game.
It's going to be crazy, man.
Here's tonight's X Factor of the game. Brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics. Offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com.
X Factor of the game. Brought to you by Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Athletics. Anthony Mandela in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. It's the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show presented by Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza. The Nets came out on top today, 133-128 over the Bucks. Your X Factor of the game coming at the charity stripe. Neither team really exactly putting on a clinic from the free throw line, but in such a closely contested contest, it can make the difference, and it might just have done that this afternoon. 18 of 23, 78.3% from the stripe were the Brooklyn Nets. The Bucks, 14 of 21. 66% from the line for the Bucks. You never know. You hit some of those down at a clip more worthy of professional basketball at the highest level in the United States. Maybe you come out on top in this game. There's your X factor of the game. Again, the Bucks fall today. It was 133-128, the final. Taking your calls, 414-799-1250. We had a chance today to potentially preview the first-round matchup for the Milwaukee Bucks. They have the one seed locked up with the win today. As it stands right now, the Brooklyn Nets and Orlando Magic both tied 40-40 for the 6 and 7 seeds, but all five teams that are still in this playoff picture at the bottom, 6 essentially through 10, they're just 2.5 games apart. Some of these teams have 2 games. Some of them have 3 games left. So there's a very real possibility that, depending on how this shakes out, the Bucks and Nets can meet in the first round of the playoffs. I just can't get down. I know that the Nets won today, but you schooled the Nets in your 3 previous matchups this season. Not school like beat them by 30, but you were basically in control for more or less all 48 minutes of the previous 3 games. Yeah, it sucks. You lost at home. You didn't have Giannis. You're resting him today so that you can have him for that game. Sam Schmitz in producing the show today. Evan, Mark Heffelfinger on the other side of the glass. I think I'm pretty safe in my assumption when I say this. Throw this to you, Sam. If Giannis Antetokounmpo played in this game, Is there any realistic shot in the universe that the Bucks lose?
No.
Right? Evan?
No. No way.
No. Okay, so we're in agreement that if Giannis played today, they sweep the season series of the Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
So that would be four games played, 2-2, home and away. They would have swept that. So by that logic, assuming that you're going to be at full force in terms of bodies, there's really no reason to think that the Bucks can't sweep the Nets in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, even, you know, with Jared Allen, the force that he is defensively and offensively, the way he matches up against the Bucks, I mean, you put Giannis in, and Jared Allen really is just a normal threat. He's not really anything serious, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree completely, and it's kind of hard for me to... A lot of times you see this in all pro sports, these guys, maybe they have like a crazy beard. Like, they're trying to get in your head a little bit. Jared Allen looks a lot more imposing than he is. His afro makes him seem probably, what, a foot taller than he actually is? I don't think Giannis is scared of anybody. So on that point, it might as well be Joel Embiid in there. I don't really care if you're Giannis Antetokounmpo. You're going to go get yours. Going down these Eastern Conference standings then. So that's the Nets. So consensus agreed, 3 out of 3 votes, 414-799-1250, if you disagree, that if the Nets and Bucks end up meeting in the first round of the playoffs, that should be a sweep for the Milwaukee Bucks. Okay. The Orlando Magic. I just don't think that they have the wherewithal from an experience and really honestly from an all-around talent standpoint to get a win on the Bucks either. Another Eastern Conference foe. They've met a handful of times this season. 3 to be exact. First time on October 27th at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks win that game 113-91. The Bucks win the second game in Orlando 118-108. And then the last time, home against Orlando, Saturday, February 9th, things basically just fell apart for the Bucks. It was 103-83. They're probably their worst loss of the season, not only in the point differential margin, but in terms of how they played. Horribly sloppy game. I remember that night. I was in Madison going to the Badger hockey game. We get out. Bucks game is just starting up. Lined out perfectly. We're thinking, you know, we're going to have a good time. They're going to get fat on the Magic. This is going to be no contest. And we're sitting there in our state's capital, and the Bucks play maybe the worst game of basketball I've seen them play in the past 2 seasons. So that was not good. But by that logic, again, and if I remember right, Giannis didn't play that game either. He did play in the first 2 games. Buy or sell. I went to Sam first last time. Let's go to Evan first this time. I don't see any way the Orlando Magic get a win in the first round if Giannis is playing.
I don't know if I would agree with that.
Oh.
I think the Magic scare me, man.
Why?
They have a lot of pieces that can match up well with the Bucks. Fournier is a terrific shooter when he's on. So if you get that game where he's on, he's scoring 30 points on you. Vucevic matches up very well with Brook Lopez. Aaron Gordon is the kind of athletic freak that can not stop Giannis, but slow him down a little bit. Their biggest weakness is point guard, so you could see someone like Brogdon. Well, he wouldn't be back by then, but Bledsoe, the veteran experience of George Hill, that might be what propels him over. But I could see the Magic easily taking a game or two in that series.
All right, I respectfully disagree. The Orlando Magic first right now in the Southeast Division at 40-40. People talk in other sports about competitive balance that, you know, in the NFL, maybe a 7-9 team sneaks into the postseason every year. A 40-40 basketball team should not be winning a division. I can't take the Orlando Magic seriously. I understand what you're saying, Evan. I just can't get down with it. Sam, do you see any way the Bucks don't sweep the Magic?
You know,
I just can't see it.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they took maybe one game, because like Evan said, Nikola Vucevic always matches up really well against the Bucks. I just can't figure it out. I mean, he is an all-star this season.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think defensively, the Magic match up against the Bucks a little better than the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay, that's fair. Moving on down the line here, this is the last team that is in the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference as it's currently constructed, and that's the Detroit Pistons. And I don't think there is a team that I could be less worried about. first time around, 115-92 the Bucks win. Second time, they win 107-104. That was when DJ Wilson stole the show. 121-98, the Bucks win. And then they complete the season sweep, 115-105, back in January. So again, four games, four wins, both home and away. Different levels of strength in terms of injuries. I can't take the Detroit. The only thing, I'll put it this way. Respect where respect is due. Dwayne Casey is a good basketball coach.
Yes.
I wouldn't put it past Dwayne Casey to find a way, come postseason time, to squeak a game out of that matchup.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I've covered a bunch of Detroit Pistons games versus the Bucks this season, and man, out of all the contenders that are contending for that 8 seed, this is the team that I am not afraid of, surprisingly. I mean, I just watched that Blake Griffin and Giannis matchup, and Giannis owns him every time. And Andre Drummond, I think you can kind of fade him out offensively, so he's really not a factor other than on defense.
Right.
And, you know, everybody else can outshoot their other position players, whether it be Middleton, Bledsoe, and then I think just the bench, it's not even close. Our bench is way more deep than Detroit's.
Right, and that's a huge part about how the Detroit Pistons are constructed, too, in terms of their roster. They're very big man heavy. Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin basically carry that team night in and night out. Come playoff time, offense is going to inherently start moving away from the basket. Blake Griffin, he has a respectable pull-up jump shot from all parts of the floor. You can't really just leave him in isolation. Andre Drummond, I would leave on an island all day. I could care less about guarding Andre Drummond anywhere outside the paint. So those are the three teams that could potentially be an eight seed right now that are in the playoff picture. Before we get to the remaining two contenders, let's get the defensive play of the game.
Marcus, it seems to me this has been a decent deflection game.
What defensive play stood out?
Giannis knocks that away from Love right at the rim.
Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113 Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza.
It is indeed the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show presented by Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza. The defensive play of the game in a 133-128 Bucks loss. A highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin.
Harris tries a wraparound. Good defense by Lopez. Bledsoe picks off the pass to the perimeter. Eric Bledsoe behind the back. Hammer that. Sterling Brown.
An absolutely beautiful execution by the Milwaukee Bucks on that play early in the first quarter. Perhaps even all the more remarkable is that maybe 2 minutes before that, an almost identical play went down in which Middleton scooped up a bad pass from D'Angelo Russell, took it down the floor, behind the back pass, but to DJ Wilson. It was Yeah, go ahead and play it. Let's do it.
Sterling Brown driving and could not score. The Bucks are actually first, are they not, in points per chance on
drives? Yes, they are. Bucks have done an outstanding job and give Giannis a lot of credit for that.
DJ Wilson from Middleton, the hard flush.
The impressive part of those two plays, in my opinion, just the fluidity with which guys were able to pick up the ball, and visualize and make a play happen on the fly. That's not something you saw from the Bucks when Jason Kidd was here. It was usually, if you got the ball, you took it to the rim, more or less. These guys, 1 through 5, just have a knack for seeing the floor and finding ways to make plays. Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe with behind-the-back passes, setting up their teammates for dunks in this game. Again, the final score, 133-128. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. You're listening to the Pick and Save Milwaukee Probes postgame show on The Fan.
We know you can do that. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You're listening to the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. What play had you screaming? Brought to you by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Premium Frozen Products and Kraft Pizzas.
Welcome back. Bucks get the win today over the Brooklyn Nets. No, they didn't. I was at the game. Watched them lose it myself. I got to say, I got a bunch of stuff I want to talk about this arena. So I've been to a couple games now this year. Been to a concert, Eric Church concert, last weekend.
How was that?
I want to get into that. Huh?
How was that concert?
amazing. In fact, the photographer for Eric Church, his personal photographer, actually put a Facebook post up saying that that was probably the best night of the entire tour to that point, was that Friday night show that we won. He played for 3.5 hours, had to get off the stage at midnight because that's the curfew they have for the arena in Milwaukee. The concerts really have to be done at midnight. Yeah, it was that was an amazing show. Amazing. In fact, I was texting Jeff Orlovsky during that show, asking him if he was an Eric Church fan, and he had seen him play, and he loves Eric Church as well. Yeah, it was a great show. All right, play of the game, Anthony Mandela, what you got?
It was Sterling Brown keeping him in it going into halftime.
Final 2 minutes of the second quarter. Sterling Brown rips the three. 1 point game. 5 points for Sterling.
That was an off rhythm three. Caught that, kind of hesitated, took a bounce to regain some rhythm, and then buried the long jump shot left corner.
Earlier in the program today, that highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin, I was mentioning Sterling Brown didn't exactly fill up the box score. And with you being in the arena,
yeah,
therefore firsthand, I just felt like his presence was so much larger than what he actually produced in terms of points, rebounds, assists. That he was more, in there and he was coming through.
Had more weight on the game.
With the plays when they needed him.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with you on that at all. George Hill irritated me there for a little bit with about 3 minutes to go, I want to say, in the third quarter. Playing a little too much cutesy one-on-one basketball, just dribbling the hell out of the shot clock and not passing and then eventually turning it over. And then made another bad pass on the next possession. Just there were a couple of things that were irritating me about Hill. But again, I love me some George Hill and what he means to this basketball team, so don't read more into that other than he was a little frustrating. For me, in this game, your two best players had to step up with Giannis out, and I think they both did. I think Bledsoe and Middleton both did their jobs in this basketball game against a team that you may see in the playoffs. At the end of the day, you lost because your defense wasn't very good. I mean, that's it. That's why. When Brook Lopez was out of the basketball game there in the fourth quarter, you couldn't get a rebound to save your life. You gave them like six times an opportunity to get a shot off there in the fourth quarter. It was ridiculous. That is why, you know, when you start talking about these regular season games that don't really mean a whole bunch, this would have been cool for the 60th win of the season and that, but this type of stuff here can't happen in the playoffs. You can't get these type of lapses on that side of the floor consistently for four quarters when you get into the playoffs, because when you face a better team, they're really going to make you pay more than the Brooklyn Nets did tonight. They just are, and that's something that's going to have to be a focus. Brook Lopez couldn't get himself in rhythm all night long. Kept getting key fouls, then they were pulling him out and trying to play Ersan as the big in the game. Ersan did okay, had a couple tip-ins, hit a three as well. He was okay throughout the game. Connaughton, I thought, played really well tonight off the bench too. But my God, I'm just telling you, without Giannis, this basketball team needs to play defense for four quarters. And they showed that, okay, so we get down by 15. All right, we'll turn it up for a little bit. We'll catch right back up again. And then they get down again. They turn it up a little bit. They catch right back up. But they weren't able to get that knockout punch against the Brooklyn Nets the way they probably would have had you had your best player on the basketball floor. That wasn't able to happen there at the end of the basketball game. And again, defensively. Again, I just go to that one possession where they got like 4 or 5 second chance opportunities to try and score and eventually hit a jumper to do just that.
Yeah, and that's really, it's the timing and the situation aspect of it, because when all was said and done, both teams had 43 rebounds
right
in the game. Yep. It was the timing of them, and like you said, the second chance points. I believe,
I mean, you should not shoot almost 56% and lose. You shouldn't shoot 47% from three and lose. Those are things that should not happen at the end of the day. Those are stats. If I read those stats, it should be Bucks win. And won.
And usually when you score 128 for good measure, too.
Well, in today's NBA, you're right. In today's NBA, you look up and you're like, holy crap, this is a four-quarter game, and you're already at 133, 128 as a final. And part of that was they got on that run to start the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're right there at halftime. You look up, and all of a sudden, you're down 9. You give up 42 points in the third. Can't have it, folks. Cannot have it when you get to the postseason. I'm not going to sit here and overreact in a game against Brooklyn, but now you get Atlanta tomorrow. Again, that should be a win. On Wednesday in Oklahoma City's Fan Appreciation Night, I don't really care about that game. It doesn't matter.
But isn't that Giannis bobblehead night?
Is that on Fan Appreciation Night?
I believe it is.
Yeah, so you're assuming they're going to make him play that game on Giannis bobblehead. That would be the guess, I guess, going in. And tonight was a giveaway. It was a DiVincenzo hat giveaway tonight at the game for the first, 10,000 fans or whatever it was.
Did you see, yesterday I saw it on Bucks social media. They were promoting the Dante DiVincenzo giveaway. You had a chance to win the autographed version of the giveaway. And the picture they put out, someone in a previous autograph signing had brought a jar of Ragu pasta sauce.
Sure, and he signed
for him to sign.
Yeah. I'm surprised a lot of people don't do that for Dante DiVincenzo, consider his nickname is Ragu. But yeah, so he was in his suit on the sidelines along with Paul Gasol and Malcolm Brogdon watching the game. Giannis was suited up. And Giannis, like always, wants to play. And Giannis, like always, was into that basketball game the entire time, standing half the game, cheering, and really into the basketball game throughout. And again, when it's your leader, and could he have played? Of course he could have played. Calf soreness because he got kicked in the calf or whatever. Come on, stop. I mean, he obviously could have played. If this was a playoff game, he certainly would have played. But they rested him. And I've got absolutely no problem with it. And we had a dad and his kids behind us, and they were looking for Giannis, and Giannis eventually came out. And this was their first basketball game. And, you know, no Giannis. And the dad was doing a great job explaining to them that, hey, look, they got to rest him. They got the one seed. They want him healthy for the playoffs. If he gets hurt, they're screwed.
Good dad
award.
And
he was doing the good dad thing, right? I mean, he was all over it. Now, later in the game, he asked me why Thon Maker wasn't playing. So then I had to tell him that he's no longer on the Bucks. But there is that. See, I really think doing what we do, people that listen to this station, you know, all the time, really think that everybody knows as much as them. It's just not so. People just do not follow sports 24/7, you know, 7 days a week. They don't live, eat, breathe, and sleep it. There are a bunch of people that do, but there is more people that don't than do. And you just have to understand that. And I'm telling you, if you're at a Bucks game and you hear people having a conversation about something and you know the answer and you can help them along, feel free to turn around and help that person.
We're all one big happy Bucks family.
Right. The more educated we all are, the better off everything is. I'll tell you my Bucks observations from the actual arena itself coming up on the other side of the Sports Flash. We'll also hear from Mike Budenholzer. We'll go inside the Bucks locker room tonight, too. Bucks lose 133-128. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here, Anthony Mandela there. Evan, other side of the glass, your dude was awful in the first half. I mean, I'm pretty sure
he had a dunk.
I'm pretty sure you could have blindfolded somebody in the audience to shoot as well as he did in the first half of that game. That was pretty brutal. He wasn't even close. And when he hit a three in the second half, that was on my side of the court where we were sitting. He did this spin move to go down the other side, and you could see in his eyes, it was like, finally, I hit something. I mean, you could just tell that he was mad by how bad he shot in the first half. Seriously, he wasn't close. He was way off in the first half, but at least he got that three in the second half. I was thinking of Evan the whole time, like, boy, you better be happy you're not sitting next to me right now, because you'd be hearing it. 133-128, Nets over the Bucks tonight.
Let's hear from the head coach. This segment is sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
133-128, Nets over the Bucks. Steve Sparky Fiver, Anthony Mandela, Evan other side of the glass, Sam Schmitz over there doing sports flashes for you. We're gonna hear from Coach Budenholzer here, but a couple of thoughts on the arena and how this whole thing works. Number one, I get down with we don't want to have paper tickets. We want to have everything digital. If your phone's dead, you're screwed. Sorry, that's how it goes.
It only took 80 games for this to come up.
Well, this isn't why it's coming up. I'm not a big fan of the whole thing, anyhow. But I didn't really say anything because whatever. So, all right, we've all understood that. That's how this is going to work. Move on with your life. Okay, fine. But this is where my issue is. And it's not really an issue now because they lost. But had they won, this would have been a bigger issue with me. If they would have won today, it would have been the 60th win. That would have been a pretty monumental thing, don't you think?
Yeah.
60 wins in a season, not like it happens every year. And do you know what I would have had? Not a damn thing to remember about.
A screenshot of a QR code.
I don't think that even stays. I think that goes away. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure. But that's it. There is no ticket for me to go get signed by Giannis when Giannis is 50 to say, hey, man, this was the 60th win back in the 2018-19 season or whatever else. Giannis is like, dude, that's cool, man. You were actually there. You don't get that, right? Mm-hmm. If Giannis throws up 80 in a game, you got nothing. You got nothing. I mean, to me, that kind of sucks, right? Yeah. And I'm sure they don't really care about that stuff over at the organization, but that does kind of suck. You take away that memory and that memorabilia aspect of it, and that's not cool. The second thing that I haven't run into until tonight. But we weren't the only ones because other people were asking the exact same question as we were walking around trying to figure this out. You go into that arena, you go main concourse, right? And then if you want to go to the upper deck, you take the escalator up to the upper deck. And we had the boys and they hadn't been to the arena yet. So we went up and then we took them up all the way to the club level and walked outside, which, by the way, is a huge attraction. Like, everybody is standing
in
line.
It's really cool.
Everybody's standing in line to do it and the whole deal. So you take them out onto the thing. They can look outside or hang out outside. We go back. We come back down. We come back down to the upper concourse area, right? Well, our tickets were in the lower bowl. So we had to get back down to the main level that we came up. So we're like, oh. Well, the escalator on the other side must be the down escalator. Because we came up this escalator.
You would think that.
So we walked around the entire concourse of the upper concourse to show the boys everything. There's the Jack Daniels bar and showing them all this stuff. And then we get a bunch of candy. And so we walk all the way around. We come on the other side. Guess what? That escalator's going up too. Both escalators are going up. Now at this point, we're not the only people. Now there's other people going, how the hell do you get down? Like, how do you get down to the main concourse? Now all of a sudden, we're all looking at each other trying to figure out how you get down. So then I went and finally asked a worker, and she's like, oh, the elevator, or you can take the back stairs down.
I feel like that's a fire hazard.
So then you stand there and you wait for a stupid elevator amongst all these people.
Who also need to go down because there's
right.
No way to go down.
But see, and I get it, right? So like when you build this thing, you're not thinking like people are going to go check out your stadium and have to go back down. You're thinking, well, you go to your seat, you don't go back down until the game is over. So there's no need before the game to have the escalator going back down because nobody's going to use it. You're just going up to your seats. You're not going between levels before the game. But in this case, I was. The first game I went to, we weren't because we had already seen the stadium. So it wasn't a big deal. This game, wanted to show the kids everything, and then you couldn't get back down. So then we had to wait for an elevator with everybody else, and they have a nice little attendant in there that sits in a chair. Get the man or girl a TV, please. That's a pet peeve of mine. Look, if you're going to put some guy or girl in a stupid elevator and make them ride up and down for God knows how long with people, There should be a TV in there that they can watch the game or watch something while they're in there.
They do that at Miller Park in Lambeau.
That's where I was going. If you go to either one of the other two stadiums and they've got these attendants, whether it be for the media or whatever, they've got somebody in there. They've got a TV so they can watch the game or whatever the case may be.
And even
put a TV in there.
Even at the old arena, the now UW-Milwaukee Panther Arena, they don't have an elevator as far as I know. It's not really a factor. But they have TVs all through the concourse. So the people working the concession stands. Because like at Miller Park, they face away.
Right. But they've got TVs all over the concourse
but I'm just
at
saying,
that arena too.
Even that arena.
Right. Absolutely. So you just, you have to... For me, that's another pet peeve. And again, nobody's going to complain about this other than the people working in the elevator probably. But that's something I noticed that I wanted to point out. Other things that I've noticed along the way here. So the first game that I had went to, we were up kind of behind the basket in kind of like a corner. There was no legroom. None.
Really?
Because of how it's built, there's only a couple of seats where that probably affects how it goes up to the main concourse. There was no leg room. Now, this time, we went down. And we had the radio station seats, so I got spoiled today. But we were down a lot closer, ton of leg room down in those seats. First time, not as much leg room. Sat in the upper deck for like the scrimmage to see what those seats were like. And those, there's good leg room there too. So if you go to a game and you get scrunched into some of those seats and you're like, man, there's no leg room in this stadium. That's not true. You just got a couple of much leg room where you're kind of got your knees up to your chest. But for the most part, that I think that is all good seating for the most part.
And it's a great view from literally every seat.
Every seat, yeah. No doubt.
When they had the green and cream scrimmage before the season started, and if you went to that, you had a chance to walk around,
sit in any seat you
try it out. I was going everywhere. I was like, this has to be a horrible view. Like in the Bradley Center, I was looking at it. You have to feel like when you sit here, you're just going to fall forward and
down
the floor.
That's what it was in the upper deck.
Because that's how it was at the Bradley Center. I just thought for sure there's got to be some place that sucks to sit in this place. There has to be.
Nope.
Even like behind the basket on the lower level.
Right.
The way they have them situated and the seats that they can add and take out depending on what they're doing for the concert or the game. Even there, the hoop barely obstructs your view.
No. The arena is so much better than the Bradley Center
from
was.
From a fan experience of watching the game or engaging with the concert, it's second to none.
And for the most part, during quarters, you're not waiting in line anywhere to get food. I mean, if you go during a quarter, you can just walk up, get your food, and go sit back down. Now, you have lines, more at halftime and before the game than you do during the game itself. But during quarters, if you get up and go, mostly everybody was sitting in their seats during the quarters. There were very few people getting up and walking out. Walking around, at least. So I think that's good, too. The food choices are obviously phenomenal as well, as everybody knows. And that was a cool part about taking everybody around the stadium today, taking the kids around, saying, okay, this is their idea of the Milwaukee Public Market space. This is what this is all about. And kind of giving me an idea of why everything was put together the way it was. So I don't know. A couple of my thoughts, I guess, on the arena for the most part tonight. I don't know. I think that place in the playoffs is going to be really loud. I just really do. Because when that place does get loud, and it did there at the end in sections, it does get loud. There's no question. Now, can you hold it for four quarters like that? That I don't know. But when it gets loud, it definitely does well. I mean, it definitely takes care of itself. There was questions about whether or not the Bradley Center versus this arena, and people on TV obviously questioning how loud this place can get, but I think it holds its own. Holds its own for the most part. All right, we got to hear from Mike Budenholzer, right? Open again. That was like 20 minutes ago. Just play the open again.
Let's hear from the head coach. This segment is sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, let's hear from Coach Mike Budenholzer after this Bucks loss.
Tough game today. You know, a lot of credit to Brooklyn. You know, a couple guys shot it really well. LeVert really stands out, making, a lot of threes. D'Angelo Russell to start the game, making a lot of threes. And I think just, we need to finish some of our defensive possessions. It was a problem a week ago when we played them. And again, tonight, just too many second chance opportunities down the stretch. Close game. We got to find a way to come up with those boards. And I think we outshot them. We did, a lot of things where, we have the advantage. But on the offensive boards, I think that was the difference, especially late.
Defensive rebound has been something you guys have done very well this year. Just what did you see late where you are giving up those offensive rebounds?
I just thought they kind of were flying in, and their activity, their pursuit of the ball was greater than ours.
Particularly early in the game, it seemed that Brooklyn were doing a lot of scoring in the paint, obviously with Giannis out. Is that how long, I guess, does it take for those guys to adjust? I know Giannis has missed some games recently, but how much of an impact is that?
Well, I mean, Giannis is incredibly important to us, but I I don't think, you know, the activity just in general, whether he's playing or not playing, you know, our effort to protect the paint, protect the rim tonight was just, you know, not probably up to the standards that we've set all year.
What is it that the Nets do that that makes it so tough that you have to play so long into possessions?
You know, tonight it was a little different. Tonight they switched a lot. You know, other times they've played zone. You know, they scored a lot, so, you know, we weren't getting as many stops as we'd like. So, you know, probably just a mix of different things.
Obviously, we've seen Eric have some good nights before, but 33 points, 11 assists. He just felt like, you know, he kind of took over tonight for Giannis. Just what can that mean for him going towards the playoffs, just trying to get right and get in the right kind of mindset?
Yeah, I thought offensively he was really good. You know, I think defensively he was like the rest of us, you know. Too many mistakes. You know, there was a stretch where Harris was free in transition. I don't know if his just bled, but, you know, our effort defensively, just not good enough.
You said before the game you wanted to see Chris get back into his rhythm. Did you feel he accomplished that tonight?
You know, at times it was just good to see him get up around 30 minutes. That was kind of the goal. You know, and there was times when I thought he had a good rhythm and was kind of doing things that were accustomed to him. And, you know, there's always a couple looks. You're like, man, he makes those usually. But, you know, I think he's feeling good, and I think he'll just continue to get better over the next week.
There he is, Coach Budenholzer, after the Bucks lose tonight to the Brooklyn Nets. At the beginning of the show, before I got back from the game, Anthony Mandela started the show asking, you know, of the teams that are left that you could play for the 8 seed, is there one that concerns you more than others? And started talking about a bunch of different ones. I don't know if you – did you read some of these tweets that you had coming in here?
I did not get a chance to before you hopped in.
So Tyler says Orlando. That team's playing hot right now. Good news is that they will probably be a 6 or a 7 seed. And Orlando has beaten the Milwaukee Bucks earlier this year in the regular season. John Hammond's team, obviously. Big Dog 45 says not a fan of playing the Nets with or without Giannis. Games see him to have been tight. They shoot the three, and we seem to not defend them. Marie says nobody, as long as Giannis is playing. But if Giannis isn't playing, then everybody worries me. And that's Maurice tweeting at the game. Okay. So this is where I'm at on it. Now, you said the Hornets, right, was one of your teams?
Yeah. For me, it's if you're talking about the teams that pose the greatest threat in terms
right.
of causing trouble.
Yep.
I don't think any of them can even come close to stopping the Bucks, even getting to a game six. I don't see any of them forcing a game six. But it's the Heat. And the Hornets.
Heat and the Hornets for you.
For me. That are the most problematic.
Okay, good. For me, looking at this bad boy, I think they're going to sweep whoever they get. Going to, who was it? Maurice, who says, without Giannis, they all worry me. I think they can beat anybody in the first round without Giannis. And I know that's, because you're not going to have Giannis or Brogdon. And we don't know about Mirotić. We're hoping Mirotić is ready, but we're not for sure. But I think they can beat anybody. Now, they're not going to sweep anybody in the first round without Giannis, but they can beat anybody. Now, Giannis is going to be there, so just to look at it from that perspective. I think Orlando concerns me if we're talking about, you know, who could they possibly lose a game to or so. They're long like the Bucks. They can get out and run with the Bucks. They can shoot to a certain degree if they get hot as well. I think the Magic worry me a little bit more than the rest when we start talking about if you get that 1-8 matchup. Now, again, I don't think the Bucks lose a game to anybody in this 1-8 matchup. But if we're talking about who would it be, I think Orlando is definitely one of them. And now right now they're 40-40 like the Brooklyn Nets. The 8 seed is Detroit at 39-40. A game back is Miami at 38-41. The Hornets, 2 games back. At 37-42. So that's how it stacks up as of right now. This very well may come down in the last game of the season to determine who the Bucks play in the 8th seed. Any of those 5 teams could end up in the 8th seed before this whole thing is said and done. You talk about the Orlando Magic, they've won 8 of their last 10 right now. They are 28-22 in the conference at 500, 40-40. The Magic are 25-16. At home this year. They've been a horrible road team, but they've been very good at home. Now, in comparison, the Bucks are 32-7 at home. 27-14 on the road, 14-2 in the division. They've only got two losses in their own division. 39-12 in the conference. Now, if you look at points per game, they're averaging 118 points per game. Of those teams just listed, the only one close to them, kind of, is Brooklyn at 112. The others are 107, 105, Charlotte's 110. Points allowed, Bucks are giving up 109. Now, this is where it changes. Orlando's only giving up 106.5 points per game. Miami's only giving up 105.8 points per game. So we start talking about that. I think Orlando is the team that probably could pose somewhat of a problem. After Orlando, I'd probably say it's going to be Brooklyn for me. It's probably my second team. Those are my top two teams that would say maybe they can get a game against the Bucks. Charlotte, Kemba Walker, you just never know, right? Kemba Walker gets hot, and Giannis isn't playing well for whatever the reason. He can't hit a shot, and the Bucks go cold from outside. Maybe Charlotte ends up being that team. Maybe. And that's something that we'll just have to wait and see how it all plays out once you get to that point. I thought it was a good question. I do. I think it's a real good question because I think most of us are to the point of not thinking they're probably going to lose a game in the first round.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they've played so well for so long all year. And with the record that you have, knowing you're going to get 60 wins probably tomorrow against the Atlanta Hawks. I thought they could have done it today had Giannis played. But you get 60 wins tomorrow against the Atlanta Hawks. Remember, Budenholzer had a 60-win team in Atlanta. And he had the best record in the East.
Went to the Eastern Conference Finals with that team.
And lost to?
LeBron James.
No LeBron James in the East anymore to lose to. That does not happen. And if there was no LeBron James in the East, he very well could have taken that Hawks team to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, he could have.
Very well could have.
That Hawks team had a lot of talent. They didn't have an MVP on that team.
No. No, they did not. No one even close to this at all. All right, let's look at the injury report for the Bucks.
Who's banged up on the Bucks?
Once I felt I could put weight on it, I was like, I had to get back out there.
This is the McCormick Law Office Milwaukee Injury Report. McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys.
All right, let's talk about the injuries. Pau Gasol in his walking boot over there on the sidelines obviously did not play. DiVincenzo's done for the year. Malcolm Brogdon, they're hoping second round of the playoffs. Those were your three guys sitting in suits on the sidelines. Giannis didn't play, left calf soreness. Apparently got kicked in the calf or something in the Philly game. Tony Snell still hoping to get back in time for the playoffs with his left ankle. Did you see the report earlier by Velasquez about Ersan?
I don't believe I did.
Broke his nose in the Philly game.
Really?
Again.
Here he is.
Still playing.
Well, he's tough.
Oh, no, it wasn't Velasquez. Velasquez wasn't there. It was, Pittman. Kane Pittman. Yeah.
There's some interesting stuff from Kane Pittman that we can maybe get to after the break.
All right, fine. Sounds good. All right, take another quick time. I will get back to some more stuff from Kane Pittman, who was there at the game tonight. Matt Velasquez with the night off, covering the Bucks tonight, back at it tomorrow against the Atlanta Hawks. Bucks lose tonight 133-128.
Heading into the Bucks locker room to hear what the players saw on the court. Sponsored by Precision Sports. Specializing in the delivery, installation, removal, and repair of basketball hoops, exercise equipment, game tables, and backyard playgrounds. Go to PrecisionSportsOnline.com.
All right, 133-128. Nets over the Bucks tonight. See Sparky Fiver, Anthony Mandela, Sam Schmitz, Evan, chairman of the DJ Wilson Fan Club. He was in hiding in the first half. I guess he peeked his head out for the postgame show. That was nice of him. DJ Wilson hit that three, and Evan came out. I don't blame him. I'd been hiding two in the first half. Man, the Brewers are driving me nuts watching this game right now. They're driving me crazy. They keep getting runners on base and can't get them in. That game tied at two. Tim Allen tonight with the Bayview Shade and Blinds postgame show coming up tonight after the Brewers and the Cubs. Okay, so inside the locker room, don't have any players on it, it doesn't appear, Anthony Mandela, but you got some stuff on Twitter.
Yeah, we do have a man, so to speak, on the inside. Kane Pittman, you might be familiar with if you keep an eye on the Bucks. He's an Australian NBA beat writer stationed to cover the Bucks here in America. He had a chance to catch up with Eric Bledsoe after the game, asking him how important it is for these guys, for the locker room, for the team, to get 60 wins this season.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bledsoe said, we want to achieve it, but at the same time, we want to play the right way. Am I being media guy, as Gary Ellerson would say, am I being media guy here? What on earth does that mean?
I have no idea.
We're talking about pretty smart guys.
You're talking about Bledsoe, man.
Don't ask me. We keep an eye on this team. We keep him covered like a glove.
I know. Don't ask me to decipher Bledsoe. I have no idea, man. That,
if you can't speak Gary, you probably can't speak Eric.
Well,
Bledsoe.
I don't know, but I have no idea what the hell that means. I mean, does that mean
what does that mean?
I'm guessing that means don't play selfish basketball and try and be hero guy in order to try to win the 60th game.
But isn't that what you've
been
trying to do?
Keep sharing the basketball and all that stuff. I guess.
Why would that change now? Because it's 60.
Maybe he misspoke. Maybe he didn't know how to answer the question. Maybe he heard the question wrong. I really don't know. I don't really know. See, now this is what I mean. So now I got some idiot on Twitter, Chris, who says, Steve Sparky, you drunk. You really think that Orlando will beat us? Now see, this is what I mean. I said they're going to sweep everybody they see in the first round. Anthony Mandela said, of them, who do you think could maybe beat the Bucks a game?
A game.
That's
realistic. Okay. These things happen.
Right. So now from that, I get, you're drunk if you think they're going to beat Orlando. I hate Twitter. I hate Twitter with a passion. Because what happens is, what happened yesterday.
Happened on the Big Show yesterday. I saw it.
Man, people are still responding to that question. We tweet out a question. These fools, the sheep, aren't listening to the show. The sheep of Aaron Rodgers aren't listening. So now they're just all mad and angry. Nobody heard anything I said or anybody else, and gets all irate over a question because they're too lazy to go listen to the podcast or turn the radio on. I hate it. 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 I can't tell you how much I hate it. If it were up to me, and it's not, because I'm old, I would banish all social media and we would just do radio shows. But we aren't going to do that because...
Yeah, and you take a horse and buggy to the game.
You're damn right. That's right. But in today's age, you have to do social media. It's part of the job and yada, 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 yada. So that's why I do it.
Well,
but
on
I'm
that
just
note,
telling you, all of it's crap. If you want to hear what we say, turn on your radio.
On that note, too, we're talking about, again, as I prefaced it, I made it very clear all show, and as you have also since you joined the program, we're not talking about anybody that could beat the Bucks in the first round.
No.
But maybe a team that maybe takes them to the final 2 minutes. Maybe takes a game on their court. So we weren't even talking about a first-round loss. But just to be fair, we are talking about, realistically, it's mathematically possible that the NBA could have zero 60-win teams this season. If there was ever a year that you maybe want to bet on the 8 seed against the 1, it could potentially be this year's NBA because nobody has dominated in that sense of it.
Bucks are the closest team to domination,
the closest
for sure. 59-21, they're going to be the Atlanta tomorrow. They'll be 60, and that'll be the end of that. Toronto's at 56 wins.
Giannis sit again tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think he was going to sit today. I didn't know he got kicked in the calf or whatever it was in the Philly game of why he's sitting out. But Golden State 55, they're not doing it. Nuggets 53, they're not. You've got 450-win teams with a possibility of a fifth in Utah, who's at 49 in the West. In the East, you have a chance to probably have 450-win teams if Boston and Philly both get another win or two on the way out. So it's pretty balanced, I think, looking at both leagues. The bottom half of the West in the playoffs is stronger than the bottom half of the East in the playoffs.
Right.
For sure. I mean, that is the difference. All right, let's do some forward thinking and look ahead to the Atlanta Hawks.
What about the next game? What do you expect from this team now? Time for some forward thinking. Sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way at FFPWI.com.
This Brewers Cubs game is really getting me worked up emotionally. It really.
It's just 2-2.
I don't care.
There's plenty of baseball left to play.
I want to bury these dudes.
Yeah, I do too.
I want to sweep them and bury them so I don't have to worry about them until like June. I want to put them so far behind that even if they get going, it's going to take them a good month, 2 months.
A Herculean
to catch
effort.
Up. I want them to take a couple of months. So if in June they get there, fine. But that's the only way. Look at that. Carantini just hit a 2-run homer for the Cubs. See? Now it's 4-2.
You can't win all 162.
Corbin Burns better figure out how to quit giving up home runs. It's the same thing that happened the first time he was on the mound for the Brewers.
home runs are killing that dude. Okay.
Him and Chase Anderson, I heard, were hanging out a lot all offseason.
Stop it. Chase Anderson gave up a home run last night, but he did pretty good.
Didn't he give up a home run his first time out, too?
Yeah.
And, like, every spring outing?
Let's not talk about that
anymore. If he wasn't making tens of millions of dollars, he would not have been on the team coming out of camp.
No. The Hawks' last game, that's who the Bucks played tomorrow. They lost to the Magic, who we were just talking to. 149-113 they lost in four quarters.
Wow.
149 Orlando put up in four quarters of action. And they only had one player on their bench in double figures in that game for Orlando.
Really?
Only one. Terrence Ross had 25. Nobody else.
That is not who I would have guessed.
On their bench. Only one player off their bench. For Atlanta, yeah, Vince Carter, still playing. We want to go see him one last time at the arena tomorrow. He's worth going to see. Who else? Trae Young, obviously a young up-and-coming star player in the NBA. He's worth going to see tomorrow if you want to go see somebody play.
I used to like Trae Young. I'm done with Trae Young.
You're done with Trae Young?
Yeah.
Why?
He made it personal last Sunday.
Oh, stop.
I don't like him. It's the same reason. It's the same reason I can't. I used to, when I was a kid, up until a certain point, I used to like the Eagles. I used to like the Giants. It seems other than the Packers, just to root for now and then.
Sure.
All these sorts of teams. Hate him now.
Hate him now. Good.
Can't stand Trae Young. In a meaningless basketball game in March, that was enough for me.
Evan, what NBA player can you not stand?
Marcus Smart, number one, easily.
Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart.
I don't like Marcus Smart either. I'm with you on
that. You know who? We have intern Duck Dynasty here also getting ready for the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball postgame show. He was telling me on the ride in here. You know who his favorite player in the NBA is? Vince
Carter. Dynasty? Oh, Vince Carter. So he should go see him tomorrow against Atlanta then.
That's what I thought. But he's going to be here humping it, getting in those hours, helping us make great radio.
Trying to get a radio career for himself.
That's right.
That's probably a smarter move than going to see Vince Carter. So that's probably a good idea. Yeah, I've never liked Marcus Smart either. Never been a fan. There are a bunch of Bucks fans that wanted Marcus Smart on the Bucks. I'm not one of them. I've never liked that dude. 133-128, Brooklyn over the Bucks. That'll do it tonight. Right back at it tomorrow night after the Bucks take on the Celtics. And tomorrow morning, last edition of the Castle Lane Spare Time Bowling Show at 9 o'clock for this season. Make sure to tune in. We will talk about that USBC Masters that had literally one name in it. And he won it, Jacob Buttriff. We'll talk about that and wrap up the season of the Spare Time Bowling Show tomorrow morning at 9. Also, don't forget tonight after Brewers and Cubs. Cubs up 4-2 right now in the fifth. The franchise, Tim Allen, is in the house already. And he'll be taking you through that
here.
Game after. Huh?
I think he lives here.
Who, him?
Tim.
Well, during the baseball season, he does.
I think he does.
Goes into hibernation when it's over.
We got
and then
like
comes
that small
out.
Conference room. Maybe we could just throw a cot in there for him.
He's got a couch right there.
Yeah, but you don't fit right on that.
I wouldn't.
It's not that it's too big or too small. It's just it's not right.
I don't know. There's stains on there. I wouldn't lie on it. I'll do it. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.